Before we get into today's podcast, I want to offer you a powerful free resource. We often hear from listeners looking for answers to those who claim God cannot exist for a variety of scientific reasons. But science actually supports the existence of God, which is why I want to offer you a free download called God's Not Dead. It explores scientifically how our own cosmos points to a creator in three clear areas. Again, this powerful resource is yours absolutely free, so why not download God's Not Dead for free right now at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. Now, here's today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis Podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
Over the next few episodes, we're going to be looking at C.S. Lewis as a spiritual mentor, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined once again by Professor Alistair McGrath, who, like Lewis, was raised in Northern Ireland. He came to faith from atheism, studied at Oxford University, and went on to become a professor there. Alistair has written numerous books on C.S. Lewis, including a seminal biography, C.S. Lewis, A Life. Alistair, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, it's really good to be with you, Ruth. I look forward to this very much.
Alistair, this is such an interesting topic that we're talking about today, because many people obviously recognise C.S. Lewis as an apologist, as a writer, but why is he not used more, in your opinion, as a resource for the Christian life of faith, do you think?
I don't know. It has puzzled me. I've given a series of talks in the United States and here in Britain. You know, in fact, C.S. Lewis is a kind of role model for the life of faith. And actually people find it very, very interesting and say, Why haven't we heard this sort of stuff before? And I don't know. I think it's simply that really Lewis would in so many other areas that may have blinded us to the fact he works very well in other areas. And I think that one of the things we need to do is to say Lewis is not simply helping us to think about the rationality of faith or the best way of explaining faith. He actually helps us to live faith as well. So I think it's good to think about Lewis as a kind of mentor or role model, certainly someone who can help us think about how we best live the life of faith.
And how do you think we can use Lewis as a figure of wisdom for Christians who want to go deeper in their faith? In what ways can we do that?
Well, I think there are many ways we can do this. One is to look at how Lewis actually lived his life. In other words, the crises he went through, the ways he found he could resolve these. I think it's really looking not so much at Lewis, the writer, although, of course, that's very, very important, but also the way in which Lewis lived his faith and wrote about how he lived his faith. We don't have to make this stuff up. Lewis has written about this, and we really need to work out ways of trying to figure out how Lewis can help us to live well as Christians. And that's why I think it's good to talk about these things, because it will open up some very helpful lines of discussion.
Do we know who are some of the people that shaped Lewis's thinking? What were some of the key people who informed what Lewis was writing about, thinking about, I suppose, even who Lewis was as a person?
Well, I think Lewis was influenced by his Christian friends like J.R.R. Tolkien, Charles Williams, Austin Farrer, and many, many others, all of whom helped him to think through how you actually do this. In other words, how you actually put it into life. I mean, for example, if you take the group The Inklings, I mean, they're the idea of friendship, which is so important to Lewis as an idea, is actually enacted, it's lived out. I think if we look at Lewis on suffering or the joy of friendship or telling stories, actually, Lewis is not saying simply these are good things to do. He's saying, I've done them and we can learn from what he's done. So in many ways, I'm not proposing anything very new here. I'm simply saying that Lewis does actually have a very good role to play in helping us to think through how we might live out the Christian faith.
And do we know, were there any older writers that Lewis would have read that he would have drawn upon for some of these ideas?
Yes, we know that he read some older English spiritual writers, who I think really helped him to see that this is Christianity is not just about getting your ideas right. It's about living in a meaningful and authentic way. And some of the writers are quite obscure, I have to say, but there's no doubt that Lewis would have seen the Christian faith as not simply something you think about, but as something you live out. And the way in which you think and the way in which you live really need to be connected up together.
Alistair, does he offer any practical tools on how we can apply our faith, do you think?
Well, he does, very often not systematically, but very often in asides, where he's talking about something and then says, by the way, how about this? And certainly one of the things I noticed quite an early stage when I was reading Lewis, particularly his letters, is he'd very often say, look, when I'm struggling with something or finding it quite difficult, I often find it very helpful to write things down. In other words, to write down the way I'm feeling or the thoughts I'm having, because that, in effect, gives me something to do, but at the same time, gives me a sort of template for beginning to resolve this issue. And indeed, if you think about Lewis's book, A Grief Observed, I mean, in many ways, that's a journal. That's Lewis writing down all the thoughts he was having following the death of his wife. And actually, you know, it helped Lewis think this through and live this out. So there are lots of points where Lewis is talking about these things. I think it's important just to let Lewis influence our thinking and our acting.
Do we know if Lewis sort of suggests any approaches for habits such as worship, prayer, reading the Bible? I mean, does he talk explicitly about any of these things? Or again, is it sort of implicit in some of the things that he's saying, perhaps in those asides?
He does talk a lot about things he personally finds helpful. Going to church. I mean, I'm not sure Lewis really enjoyed the preaching at Holy Trinity Headington very much, but he certainly went there. He saw it as being a very important anchor point in his life. I think that is a discipline. I am going to set aside this time for God and nobody else. And, you know, that's a good thing to think about. I mean, as it happens, Lewis also found going to church proved to be an inspiration for various things. For example, he wrote the Screwtape Letters because he was listening to a rather dull sermon. So God works in very mysterious ways at times. But I think other things that Lewis does commend, you know, is talking to your friends, going for walks and thinking things through. I mean, there are a whole series of things which he talks about where, in effect, it's very, very clear Lewis is thinking about not simply how do I understand my faith, but what helps me improve it and live it out.
Alistair, have you or anyone you know adopted any of these practical tips that Lewis has talked about in his letters and in his books?
I think in my own case, what I found is that very often Lewis will give me lines of thought that I can apply in my own way. Not necessarily the way Lewis would have done it, I have to say. But nevertheless, Lewis has given me cues or suggestions that I can live out in my own distinct way. And maybe that's something we can learn from Lewis. Because I think one of the things he's doing is not saying, be like me, do as I do. It's in effect, Lewis in many ways is giving us a toolkit. He's saying, here's what I find helpful. Does this help you? And if so, you know, you do this in your own distinct way. I think if we think, for example, about Lewis on telling stories, I mean, Lewis had his own distinct ways of telling stories. And very often these are about how Christianity makes sense or indeed how Christianity becomes more real to me as I live it out. But he's not saying, so you do that too. He's more or less saying, look, how would you do this? How would what I do help you work out what you're going to do? So if you like, Lewis is not saying, here's how to do it, go and do it. It's much more, in effect, almost like a good friend saying to you, actually, I find this quite helpful. Why don't you try that and see what happens? But the important thing is to figure out what works for you. And Lewis is a rather benign friend who can help us, I think, to think things through and live things out.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
Did you know that this month marks the fourth anniversary of Premier Insight, the ministry that brings you this podcast? While it's a real season of celebration, there's also a very real financial challenge that must be met this month. Due to rising costs and the pressure of inflation, there's a $35,000 gap that must be closed this month to keep Premier Insight moving forward with strength. That's why I'm asking you to give a special anniversary gift to keep programs like this podcast on the air and equip a generation of Christians to live out their faith with clarity, conviction, and confidence. simply go to premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. Thank you for your support.
The CS Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. Alistair, do you think we can use some of Lewis's more apologetics material to strengthen Christians as well as to challenge those who perhaps don't share the Christian beliefs?
Well, I think we can. I think there's one of these areas where Lewis helps us because of his own personal history. And I think one of the things that's very good to talk about here is Lewis's own personal quest for vocation. What does God want me to do? I think one of the things that we see Lewis begin to realize is that actually I'm an atheist who became a Christian, and maybe God would use me to help other atheists discover Christianity as well. So I think what we see here is Lewis, in effect, saying, look, in my case, this is how it worked out. I was an atheist, became a Christian. I could write rather well. Therefore, you know, writing apologetic books was an obvious way ahead. But you see, the same pattern is there for all of us. Is there something we can do that maybe nobody else can do particularly well, or we can do better? And what Lewis is really inviting us to do is to think about our own histories. And in what way is our experience of life, in what way is our previous interaction with God, in what way is our lived experience going to help us, in effect, talk about our faith or speak about our faith, or indeed help others to discover the difference that Christianity makes? So Lewis is not saying, I'm a representative human being, everyone needs to be like me. He's saying, no, I'm me. Here's how it happened for me. Here's how I learned from this. Now over to you as you think out how you discover what God wants you to do and live it out in this world.
You've definitely touched on this, Alistair, but do you think Lewis would have any specific advice for those who are perhaps struggling out what they want to do, what they want their vocation to be?
Well, I think you have to say that very often, it wasn't as if Lewis suddenly said, aha, I know what I'm meant to be doing. Mm. Very often this happened in rather indirect ways, and often not through Lewis thinking this through for himself, but rather friends making suggestions. A very good example is Lewis's book, The Problem of Pain, which published in 1940. Now, that was a very important book for Lewis because one of his friends, a publisher, said, look, why don't you write a book on apologetics, The Problem of Pain? And Lewis thought about it and said, that's quite a good idea. But being asked by somebody to do a work of apologetics, in effect, if you like, was almost like Lewis being told this is what you could do and maybe what you should do. In other words, it wasn't really Lewis's own idea. It was somebody else who knew him saying, you could do this, it needs to be done, do it. And actually, in doing it, Lewis discovered he could do it and could become better at it. So in many ways, that was somebody else helping Lewis discover his formation. So I think what we can say is that at various points in Lewis's life, you can see the influence of friends helping him to think things through. Think, for example, that very famous conversation between Hugo Dyson, J.R. Tolkien, and Lewis in Magdalen College in 1931. That's when Lewis moved from being a believer in God to being a Christian. His friends helped in a big way. Or indeed, Lewis trying to figure out what I'm meant to be doing with my life. You know, where again, his friends were really helpful in moving him, pointing him, not necessarily saying do this, but have you thought about doing this? So again, if you read The Four Loves, the very powerful chapter on friendship, you know, what Lewis is really saying is that friends actually are very important, that they give us personal support, but they also, partly because they know us better than we sometimes do ourselves, you know, actually are able to work out what we ought to be doing. So you see, that's Lewis extending his reach. This is not about how to write. It's not about how to preach an apologetic sermon. It's very much about how your friends can help you figure out what you're meant to be doing and also help you to grow in your faith. Again, one of the points that Lewis does make is that sharing your story of faith can actually be very helpful to other people who find this both enriching but also encouraging.
You mentioned there that The Problem of Pain was his first apologetics book, and obviously that is talking about suffering, which is sadly a feature of so many of our lives. You also mentioned at the beginning that Lewis went through many crises and talks about sort of how he overcame some of those crises. So how can Lewis speak to those of us who are really struggling with this problem of suffering, do you think, Alistair?
Well, Lewis really struggled with this problem of suffering as an atheist. He fought in the First World War and was completely traumatized by this and tried to work out how on earth he could cope with these very, very bad memories, which actually were really quite frightening. And in some of his letters, he talks about forging a treaty with reality. But which, what he means really is, I'm shutting down this. I'm not going to think about this anymore because it's so destructive. And actually, you might say Lewis is being a bit intellectually dishonest there, but I think he's being personally deeply realistic. If you can't cope with something, you need to shut it down. You need to, in effect, move away from this. If something is not working out, very often the best strategy is to move away and do something else. But in the case of suffering, I think Lewis did learn quite a lot. The Problem of Pain is a good book, but it's very, very academic, very cerebral. And it's really a book written by somebody who hasn't experienced suffering as a sort of existential problem. And of course, that's why the death of Lewis's wife was so important, because suddenly it became a real problem. And he found some of the things his friend Charles Williams had written, you know, about, in effect, bearing somebody else's pain, deeply moving. And actually that suddenly gave him from like a lens which he could use to see this problem in a new way. So again, it's a friend providing a way of thinking which actually helped him there. But very often the importance of friendship is people stay with you during difficult times, offering you both their support, but also from time to time, how about this? Maybe this would help as well. And Lewis knew all of those things from his own life.
Does Lewis have any advice for those who are experiencing doubts in their faith? I know it's not quite the same as suffering, but they often go hand in hand. What would Lewis say in that case?
Well, I think we need to realise Lewis himself did go through periods of doubt. And in fact, Lewis is quite honest about it. He says, very often, I feel at my most vulnerable, at my most doubtful, when I've just given an apologetic address. In other words, he really felt he was exposing himself, making himself vulnerable. And I can understand what he means by that. So I think very often friends are there just to say, look, it's all right. There are good reasons for believing this. C.S. Lewis gives you some of them, but also in effect saying, and look, let's just talk them through. Let's just reassure you there are good reasons here. And again, that's one of the things that friends very often have to do. You have to walk with someone from time to time and say, it's going to be all right. Here are some very good thoughts you can take away with you. And Lewis is doing that in many of his writings. He's not necessarily physically with us, but he's in effect saying, here's how I make sense of this. Here's how I discovered this. And I think it's very important to realize that Lewis, in effect, is not simply saying, I'm doing apologetics to people outside the church, even though that's very important. Very often he's speaking to ordinary Christians like himself who are going through difficult times and want to think about suffering or doubt or reasons for thinking there's a God or what difference God makes to us. So again, we read Lewis not simply as someone who gives us intellectual answers, but someone who gives us these personal pastoral answers, which can really help us think these things through.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @PremierUnbelievableFE, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @PremierUnbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @Premier.Unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.